Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache glasses and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But now, but here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space
here,
right,
but for
now.
North. And the dream team of callers.
Right. I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas. Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too.
That was
easy. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
Listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge SportsGrid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub's show, man, and I have been
awesome.
Addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the SportsGrid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
Who's ready Friday afternoon? You know Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh are to set you up for a holiday weekend here. A lot of big doings, including, Kevin, the NBA, which, you know, I actually enjoy about this, Kevin? It's the time of the year where I turn on the TV and I see huge television monitors with the trade machine out, and you can make up whatever you want to your heart's content to see if your team can trade for an ultimate superstar. We're there. We made it, Kevin, as you like to say. I think better than the playoffs right now. Start a free agency.
I think that was supposed to be a sneaky shot, but I actually don't take it.
No,
as
it's
such.
Not.
The NBA's offseason is tremendous. I love when there's even minimal chaos in the NFL, and NFL fans are like, oh my God, is there anything like the NFL offseason? And I always sit there on my high horse being like, you people would all pass out if the NFL ever operated like the NBA. But that's why it rules. That's why it's the best. And again, that's why, despite the season ending, the season really just began.
There you go. Now, answer me this question. BATR. I mean, what are we fired up about on the weekend? I mean, are you hoping for fireworks Friday? What are we hoping for?
So the big story right now in the NBA, Donnie, is, of course, the James Harden situation. And I'm really, really struggling to understand what timeline are we supposed to be operating on here and how these negotiations are supposed to carry. You know, if a team like Milwaukee came in and, like, you know what, we actually think that Harden would help us get over the top. Does Harden have the kind of ability to go, no, I'm not going to Milwaukee. You understand my lifestyle? If you think I'm going to the Milwaukee Bucks, like, you haven't been paying attention. But also vice versa to that, let's say the Bucks call. They say, hey, we want Harden. Harden's like, you know what? This is going to be great. I'm going to be able to win there. Do the Sixers go, we're not sending that Milwaukee. We're trying to win a title. No. You're going to the Knicks. You're going to the Blazers. Like, I don't have a good read, Donnie, on how the relationship with the Sixers and James Harden is going to factor in to the, you know, the rest of these conversations that have to take place.
Yeah, it's completely odd. It threw me for a loop because, you know, reading, again, the tweet that just comes out yesterday, hey, Harden opted in. Oh, look at that. He's going to play one more year with the Sixers, then they'll see what's what. No, Harden's going to opt in, and it looks like he's played his last basketball game in Philadelphia. And it's like, boy, this is going to get interesting. And then you realize, like, well, who would want him? at that price? Where could he fit in? Because, again, he's not just saying, hey, you know what? I made so much money, Kevin. I'm opting out. I'm going to be a free agent. I want to go play basketball. I'll take the veteran exception or the veteran minimum if that's what it takes, and I want to go win a championship. And I'm like, you know what? That's pretty good. But what caught me off guard was, I want to opt in and get traded at this point, which then leads you to believe his agent was like, hey, we don't have anything out here for you. So if you want to go play the market and spin the wheel, go ahead. But you got $36 million right here if you push this button, and they did that.
Yeah, see, I feel that's a little – for me, Donnie, I don't take the same reaction as you because – there could have maybe been money out there, but no contenders have that money. Just the NBA again. Like, this is what we talked about a little bit yesterday on the show. The NBA salary cap is so odd. You're like, hold on. Every contender can trade for Harden, but none of them can sign Harden. It's yes, essentially, is what that boils down to. And it kind of creates an odd situation.
Yeah, it does. A lot of other news around. Still waiting. You know, we're in that holding pattern. But again, today's a big day. Obviously, it's a Friday. It's a holiday weekend coming up. Some people have 4 days off, some three, some don't have any because they work right through it. But, Kevin, we're in that position where tomorrow is July. And that means a lot because, again, that's football season. Things start to turn. But having said that, here's what I wanted to bring into. We might be able to pick this up even after the break. Big news here, by the way, from ESPN. You saw that first round of layoffs, Kevin, come. Oh, you know, they've been doing it over the years. But Jeff Van Gundy got let go today. And I wanted, and the reason, it's not like, oh, who they get let go and you're mad at. I actually really like Jeff Van Gundy on telecasts. I was mildly surprised by that, but big ticket items sometimes have to go. I know he's going to probably land on his feet somewhere, but there were a couple eye-opening ones like, wow, like didn't see that one coming. That was one of them.
I was at that, you know, and it's tough to, you know, see in this spot, you know, kind of that happened to people. But the Van Gundy thing stunned me because I feel like that broadcast. Now, there are some people that can't stand that booth. You're someone who likes that booth.
Yes, I
do. But I feel like ESPN likes that booth. Van Gundy, you would imagine, to your point, probably just gets hired by TNT immediately and calls games with his brother, and that'll be a bit of a draw for TNT again if you think that people are tuning in.
Gundy's getting after it, man.
But my thing is, are they going to fill it, or are they going to go two-man booth? Because I feel like anybody that now sits there with Breen and Mark is just going to look misplaced.
Yeah, a lot of these were just basically like, hey, you guys are all making a lot of salary. We still make good money on the NBA, but we're just going to cut bait here, put somebody else in there, and save a few million dollars. Hey, could happen here. We'll talk about that much, much more. 1-3 today, right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking about some big changes at ESPN here. And again, Susie Colbert, one of those people. 27. K-Dub, now hear me out on this type of stuff, right? I always thought Susie Colbert was very good. Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, you know, as one of those anchors, analysts there. Let me tell you something. In this business, you go 27 years at one company, 38-year career is what she said. I mean, that's living large right there. That's living large. Most people, hey, in and out the door, 1 to 2 years, 3 years, couldn't hack it, couldn't do this. You give a run at a major network that long, that's pretty good stuff here. Oh, by the way, how old am I, 40? I got 27 more years? I don't know.
How long you been doing it?
I don't know. 2-3 years, maybe? Nah.
That's not.
No, no. I would probably say doing this since 2010, but not like on the radio with like shows. Like if you want to say, all right, forget about like the first time I was doing like YouTube videos, right? If you want to say like actual shows, 2016. So it's been like, you know, what, 7 years at this point of legitimate, like, hey, oh, well, handy. Well, I got in this business in 2003. Well, what do you mean you got this business in 2003? You know what I mean? Stop it. Like this present business. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everybody can make anything up. But legitimately where on-air show, like legit, not just me. Yes, like me just putting a video on air show 2016. Yeah. Well, how long have you been doing this? A couple months? What's going on over there?
I mean,
that's taking me through your background right now.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's about the same time, pal. I mean, I finished college in 2017. So,
But what were you doing in college, Joe? Were you doing YouTube?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, if that stuff doesn't count. But I went to school for this. I mean, so really, I got a lot more experience.
Now, hear me out on this school thing, because I get a kick out of this. Like, I took communications class in 1996 mm-hmm. in the fall, which, again, we're just like, you had to do, like, speeches, like, in front of the class, which is wild. But having said that, I wasn't into any, because, again, they had television, radio, communications, all that stuff. But that wasn't my major. It just was one of those, electives? Not electives.
Yeah.
Electives. Just like, hey, you got to take a class. All right, this seems kind of interesting. So I did take that here. Now, did you have to get in front of the class and, like, you know, they give you like a play-by-play guy next to you and like, okay, let's let the class critique you?
I mean, it didn't go exactly like that.
Now, give me a clip. Forget about, like, communications. I mean, give me a class. Was a professor in front of you like, all right, watch this hot take. See if you can do it. Like, what were we doing in that class?
Oh, in terms of, like, what was being shown to us to learn kind of thing?
Yes,
It was way more repetition than, here, watch this video of this guy who's great and learn, at least kind of how I remember it there, where just kind of the most important thing was get in front of the microphone and letting it go, and then kind of hearing what did land and what didn't to me. So that was kind of the bigger thing, at least for those. I mean, the reality is, Donnie, like, you go to, and I, you know, really enjoy what I was able to do at Iona. I really did. But it's not like you're taking six classes that are all, you know, sports broadcast based. Right? Like, even as a communication major, you're in
math.
Yeah, but no,
microeconomics.
So honestly, Don, so like, that's obvious. I'm talking about, like, I'm in, you know, Adobe Photoshop class. And like, those are skills to learn. Wow. But ultimately, I land in the position I'm in. That no longer is going to help me on air. You know what I'm saying? Like, so there's still a lot of it that isn't exactly geared towards the on-air aspect of this business.
It would have been interesting to see, like, the evolution. Like, again, like, I got to college in the fall of 96, and, like, mm-hmm. on campus, there was, like, one computer room where if you had to do, like, a paper, that's where you had to go and, like, maybe wait for a computer. So I always think it's just wild the way things go. And I remember, even, Kevin, I'm talking, like, 1998. Donnie, what's your email address? Man, you miss me with that, man. Tell me emails. Get out of here. You know what I mean? That's the age of school that I went to. The evolution of the internet was coming through. But it's interesting to see, like, because now here's the worst part about it. Like, because, you know, me and the boys, we took electives, like, usually together. And come on. You know, like, the way I like to get down with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a guy, hey, this guy's taking the mic. I mean, you might get some snickers in the back of the room. Like, hey, guys. Don't judge. And the guy's like, you know, opening, letting it rip. I'm like, man, get this guy. And he's like, hold on. Who said that back there? What? Him. Not me. Not me, K-Dub. Was there any of that going on?
Not that I super recall. That's more high school, I think, than college.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much me in college.
But yeah, but I mean, again, like, you, but that's not just you in college. That's you right now. Like, that's, so I don't know what we're, you have not changed. Like, I imagine that if people saw you for the first time since your senior year of high school, they'd be like, man, you are, still the exact same, pal. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
I'm telling you, like, I still, like, again, I still keep myself in that, like, I'm 19, 20, 21, like, in mm-hmm. football college mode. Like, the times that I enjoyed, like, we would go to camp, and camp is the worst thing in the world. And if anybody doesn't know or played football where it's, like, 2 and 3 a days and for, like, 14 straight, it's the worst time of your life. You cannot wait until it's over. But the simple joys of life, like, you go into the big auditorium, they turn the lights out and they put the projector on, somebody yells something, lights go back on, and nobody can figure out who it is. Like, that's how I got through life. Like, I couldn't have made it through football camp without doing nonsense like that. You get on a bus, Kevin, after a game. You know, the bus goes dark. Coach walks on the bus. You yell at the coach from the back of the bus. They turn the lights on. Who said that there? It's a great time. It's just the way it used to be. And I think I need to bring more of that here to the Sports Grid Network.
No.
Do I bring enough of that?
Yeah, I was going to bring enough. Let me make this abundantly clear to you, pal. You still bring that same exact energy. The other day, early line begins, issue here, issue there.
Uh-huh.
And there are people who are still a little bit newer saying, man, Donnie just couldn't stop smiling when that was happening. I'm like, welcome. Favorite show of the month.
If anybody doesn't know, like, again, you want to put the, you know, network in the best light, which means production, on-air talent, everything works correctly. We're open. And the, here's what I like best about those things, too, because there's a different mindset. When I host a show with Joe, like, 10 minutes before the show, I'm setting up, like, the 7 and 7 to knock it down in a row, ask the questions, keep it moving. How much time am I going to spend on this? No big deal. And then you just let it rip. Well, in the middle of a show where you're hosting, then immediately goes to me, and it's like, okay, well, I don't have any of the topics up. Let's let it go. And then catching you in the background in like a dark room with the background off, and I'm telling them, the producers, please just put Kevin on real quick. And like, what is he talking about? Bro? What do you mean I'm putting that guy back on there? But see, I like that. Like, I wasn't prepared for that. But again, that's, you're supposed to get ready for, you've probably been in communications class or whatever, like, hey, but shut the prompter off, just let it go, because you have to riff in those moments. But I thought that was absolutely hilarious, where you got shut down and taken off. The only thing I was like is, can he at least talk back there? Yeah, I can talk. All right, let's go. Here we go.
Man, see, I actually think now I really would like to watch you teach a communications class. Because at no point did they say, today we're going to turn the prompter off and see how
they
you
didn't?
Can manage why.
Come on. Which, like, some people aren't built for that, though. Like, they're just not. Like, you just freeze up in the moment. But again, you just, like, when that happened, it was just like, all right, let's just go in the scramble mode, and then the fun starts.
The problem, I think, for you, pal, is that you might be a little too good in scramble mode. You live in scramble mode.
Yeah, don't put me on a don't put me on a list here. We got to hit points 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But it's just funny how things like change with like when you host a show, when you don't host a show. And it's not to say you don't prepare for a show you don't host, because obviously there are topics you need to hit. But the ebbs and the flows, you could sort of drift off it. And the fact that you got shut down immediately like threw me for a loop for about 10 seconds, because we were talking about the Domingo Germán perfect game, and I was like, all right, what? Like, I'm looking at like the, you know, the notes on the sound, like, all right. Domingo Germán, perfect. Like, you need to get out of the box, basically, before it got shut down, which was tremendous.
It came off like a prank, and with how quickly things fell apart there. But we survived. We survived.
We did.
I don't know how we got to that topic, but there we go.
No, that's maybe one of the best conversations we've ever had live on the air. By the way, Major League Baseball is big today. Hour number one, I do want to hit some of these spots because I think we can make some money. Same game parlays, I'm going for 3 in a row and expect that to hit. Come on back with us. We will break it all down, and also a lot of NBA topics, certainly, in hour number two. It's Donnie and Kevin. It's a Friday afternoon. Get your calls in, 844-843-6879.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
15 games on the docket today, Major League Baseball. This is Moneyline Afternoon, Friday edition, holiday weekend edition. 844-843-6879. You got a hot take here. What are you doing over the weekend, too, people? Let me know, because you know I'm always about cooking out, having some cocktails, some cigars, relaxation. Do you head down the shore? Do you go to the lake house? Do you stay in the city? Do you get away from the city? Do you not care? Do you just work? And, you know, I want to know what the people out there are doing this weekend. So give us a call. Let us know. There is a game today, Kevin. 2:20 in the afternoon. Cleveland and Chicago, with Chicago, this being the Cubs, not the White Sox, a massive favorite in this game. Steals on the mound, -200. Cal Quantrill, 8.5. Let me just see if we have the wind conditions. Look at that. 90 degrees with 4-mile-an-hour winds, which is nothing. They're blowing in. So maybe something to dig in. I'm not particularly in love with this game because you know me, K-Dub. I need a couple bad pitchers. Steele's really not that guy. Quantrill doesn't have terrible statistics. So in that early game, the real reason why I brought it up was it's a 2:20 start. So some people might want to get down. But then again, that 5 o'clock game tonight, Kevin, early start, people. Don't be like, hey, just got off work, pulling home. What am I going to do tonight? San Diego and Cincinnati, that game has the chance to have some fireworks.
Yeah.
90-degree temperatures, wind blowing out, bad pitcher on the mound for Cincinnati. Do you bounce back today for the San Diego Padres? Because they have been absolutely dreadful. Like, when you read, let me just get their bench into the equation just in case I have everybody on here. Like, all right, Nelson Cruz, let's just say, whether or not he's in the lineup or not, outside of him, Tatis, Soto, Machado, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Sanchez, Odor, Kim, Grisham, and then the big boomstick. Well, how does it, it's almost, and the front line pitching, too, is healthy for the most part and is supposed to be dominant. We talked about the Mets. We talked about the Padres and the differences. Now, obviously, the Mets are more of a lightning rod being in New York. But the Padres, if the Padres miss the playoffs this year, that talent level, that's something I might have never seen before.
No, it's pretty outrageous. And again, it's my favorite, I think, crystal ball of the baseball season at the moment. If I told you the Dodgers were in third place, how much money would you bet that the Padres were one of the two teams in front of them in the NL West? You know, it's a vulnerable season out there for the Dodgers, and the Padres just haven't been able to capitalize. And it's pretty bizarre because the Phillies, I thought, were rightfully grouped with the Mets and the Padres, and the Cardinals probably are actually even a tier below them in terms of disappointment. But the Phillies have kind of found their level, right? They're, what, six solid games, I think, above 500 now?
Yeah.
And the Mets and the Padres just cannot get on that winning streak. Eight out of their last 10, 12 out of their last 15. They just cannot find anything to start getting back above consistent 500 baseball.
Yeah, and I agree with you. But that game should be pretty good. Like RBI shots, you know, you take a look. Let me just bring up Ashcraft's statistics here going up against the Padres. I mean, he's got astronomically bad numbers on both sides of the plate. But again, you like to have that, like, put it this way, Kevin. Atlanta rolls into town against Ashcraft. It's like, oh, my God. Like, we might have we might have to call the coroner out here today because it's going to get ugly. They don't have that type of lineup. They have the star power, but those stars haven't hit. Like, Xander Bogaerts, what did he sign for? At least around $300 million. Look at his numbers against right-handed. Like, sometimes you could say, like, Kevin, hey, some guys struggle with lefties. Like, no, this is a bad right-handed pitcher. But Bogaerts, 60 at-bats, an 0.57 ISO, and a 2.59 weighted on-base percentage. It's unbelievable. Like, Cronenworth just got a $100 million contract. He's even worse than Bogaerts is. And they said, well, what about Manny Machado? A few hundred million dollars, Kevin. Under 100 ISO and a 3.06 weighted on-base percentage last 30 days against right-handed pitching. It's almost like saying, when this offense is supposed to click, it's almost like you can't get anybody out. And they've been bad, like way worse than what they should be.
And in your mind, Donnie, is that manager, hitting coach? Because I don't know if I can really critique the front office. I feel like people get mad at the spenders in sports. And they're like, oh, my God, the way they push it all in for this title, see what happens. And it's like, I don't know. Like, how are they supposed to know that all of a sudden their entire front-end lineup that are all-star calibers wouldn't live up to their billing? Like, who do you – or is it just like these guys have to figure it out? But it's a little odd that it's everybody. Like a slump here, a slump there. How many guys are living up to their level? Basically just Tatis, right? Maybe Soto rounding into form?
Which is crazy because Tatis got suspended for a good portion of last year and then coming back this year. But you look at it, like Tatis is like a $300 million year guy, a $300 million contract guy, Bogaerts and Machado. And Soto's in there going like, well, I'm next, so I'm about to get $300-plus million as well, depending on what I do this year. But I don't know if it's that aspect of, hey, maybe they're just all me guys. But baseball's a me sport, right? It sounds like, hey, Manny, you're supposed to hit behind me so you can move the runner over. It's like, nah, dude, I'm going for RBIs here. So if I don't drive you over, that's not my issue. But I don't think that's the case of why it's not working. But even like the Mets lineup is good. It's not nearly as talented as the Padres lineup. Like, not even in a million years. Like, I like Lindor, but if you say right now, you can take Lindor, Tatis, I'll take Tatis all day. Hey, Lindor, Machado, I'll take Machado. Lindor, Soto, I'll take Soto. Now, Bogaerts has been, like, Bogaerts is almost the mirror image, it feels like, of Lindor at this point. Where they're just, but the talent level is ridiculous on the Padres. They should be crushing teams every day, and they don't.
No, they don't. But again, like, that's my... there's not like these guys don't work in the NBA, okay? So there's people who think that Beal, Durant, and Booker maybe is a bad idea because everybody needs the ball. There's no such thing in Major League Baseball.
Yes, correct.
Oh, God, every single guy in our lineup is supposed to hit a home run. Like, it sounds great. It's not like you should win every game you play. Like, that's exactly what you're looking for there. So when a whole team is struggling, somebody has to catch the heat. Like, it can't be. There has to be more of a reason because these guys are all pedigree guys. It's not like they signed flash-in-the-pan, one-year pop guys, right? These are proven perennial all-stars on this roster that you're not getting what you anticipated.
Correct. And that's an issue. And there's still time to turn around. But, you know, we're almost at the All-Star break at this point. We're past the 50% mark. And that's the way they're performing. That's usually the way you start the season. Okay, you can rebound after 3-4 weeks. And that's been 3 months. And you're not playing better baseball. Those are the alarm bells here. Phillies and the Nationals today. By the way, real quick, on some of those RBI prop guys, we didn't talk so much about the Cincinnati Reds on fire at the plate. I do think we get an over in this game. It's just a matter of, like, who you want to pick. And as crazy as it sounds, some of the hardest games to pick out, like for me, or teams, I should say. The Padres, I go, you know what? I'm taking a flyer, and I will. I will be betting this. Tatis and Soto both to get an RBI tonight. It's clear cut. It's the way it's supposed to be in that lineup. You flip it over to Cincinnati. Now, Lugo has okay statistics. But there is 6 guys out of 9 today that are anticipated for the Reds that could all get your dollars today. And it's like, ooh, I'm about to get confused because I've been there, and I've been there this week. Hey, man, you know, 14 runs come across or 10 runs come across, like the Phillies the other night in Chicago. Castellanos went nuts, and I have, you know, Trey Turner, who has legit numbers, as well as JT Realmuto. Nobody ate. They scored close to 10 runs. It happens. That's a little bit of a tougher draw there because that's a really good-looking Reds lineup tonight.
Oh, that reminds me, by the way, and I know this is probably nothing to harp on because it's a one-night kind of sample, but the fact that you were on J.D. Martinez and Freddie Freeman and it was, I think, 3 RBIs apiece or at least 3 RBIs, yeah. Donnie. Like,
yes.
The climbing the ladder. You and I always like to talk about greedy situations there. Kind of just your thoughts on how dominant they both were last night.
I'm starting to look at – I actually did it one time last week, Kevin. I did it – and again, you know, who did I do it with? The Braves. Of course I did. It was Travis d'Arnaud, and it was – who else? Matt Olson. And I'm saying to myself, I really like the numbers in this game. So I took them also to get straight wagers, which was like, or actually only one. I think I took Olson to get a straight wager and then doubled up. But I didn't take d'Arnaud to get a single RBI. I took him to double up. They both hit home runs in that game. Only one of them cashed, but it still did. Plus 340 was the price to get 2 RBI on Olson. Kevin, d'Arnaud, who was hitting cleanup, he was plus 640 for 2 RBIs on Bet365. Now, also, here's what I was looking at doing as well. And I didn't do this. It would have lost anyway. A FanDuel allows you, Kevin, to parlay the 2 RBIs or more. So that was 16-1 if both of those two got 2 RBIs. Which, again, you're saying it's hard to get an RBI. I understand. But when you really put it in perspective, it's not getting 2 touchdowns in an NFL game, right? If you have a good matchup where, like, if I were told you, okay, you know, Pittsburgh's going to score 42 points tonight in the NFL. You go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, I'm going to take somebody to get 2 touchdowns because there's at least 6 touchdowns on the board right now. We can get after that. In baseball, it's similar, like 5, 6, 7. There's a good chance that somebody's going to get 2. Now, I didn't bet it because if I would have gone to the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's a lot lower on RBI tickets as opposed to Bet365. And I'm talking about a wide shot, Kevin. We're saying, like, Travis d'Arnaud was that 640. On FanDuel, he was like 330 to get 2 RBIs.
Oh, my goodness.
It was that big of a difference. But they don't allow you to parlay that same game, do 2 RBIs. So I didn't do it because I was actually mad at the number, if that made sense. So all I did was go back to Bet365, bet them individually, 2 RBI and 2 RBI. And I'm watching that going like, oh, my goodness. Both, like, you know, through the fourth inning, they each have an RBI. And then Olson hits the 2-run home run, which was like, bam, that catches. I'm like, oh, man, d'Arnaud, one more time, man. This is going to be so much fun. Yeah. But it's a good point you bring up because I don't think that climbing the ladder is like, you idiot, you shouldn't have done that. Because how many times do you see it, Kevin, right? You go through games. Now, granted, 2 RBIs is a very good game. You see it a lot. Guys, one home, because the guys that can hit the home runs are the power numbers, the ISOs that make sense. When you see a home run, it's great. What are the chances? By the way, I would like to see that. I don't have those numbers. Solo home runs compared to, like, guys on base. Now, granted, obviously, the solo home run is going to be a lot more, but is it that much more? Because how many, hey, so-and-so hit a home run. Your first thought is, ooh, I wonder what that score change is going to be. Ah, it was only a solo. No, a lot of times that's a 2-run, 3-run home run at that point. But that is a fun market. I haven't gone all the way in yet, but I did get a little bit frisky last week and go, you know what? Let's climb the ladder. And it did pay off. I hit the 1-340, so it's good stuff.
And it has to be those specific situations. Again, last night you were backing a team that had a team total of 7, right? They smashed their team total. That's 14 runs.
Yeah, they were delayed a long time, too. Like, that game got over late. But again, when I roll, when the rollover crew is what I call them. Roll over and check your phone. How many runs they score? 14. You probably thought it was going to be a good night, and it was. Tonight, I expect to be another good night. Let's continue down this Major League Baseball path. Hour number two, big time topics right here on Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday afternoon, Major League Baseball right here on the grid. Talking some action. Phillies are at home tonight, 6:05 Eastern, against the Nationals. Now, you know what? I'm glad we stumbled on this because it just came to my attention here. Let's take a look at the Phillies on FanDuel because I do think they have this market. Do they have the market? Or maybe it's not FanDuel. I know I've seen this before, Kevin. Who hits the first home run?
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that before? Like, you know, you have odds to hit a home run?
Yeah.
And so I don't know what outlet it is.
I think so, yeah.
But the reason I bring, like, Schwarber. Like, it's like Schwarber hits, like, the first pitch of the game out. Mm-hmm. Or, like, he goes 0-for-5, it feels like, for me. Like, that's a solid night for Schwarber. Like, hey, what'd you do? First at bat solo shot? Yeah, you guys don't need me the rest of the night anymore. I'll take it off. Do you know he's only a plus 200 to hit a home run tonight? 200.
That's wild. I want, like, I know we did it for, like, one playoff game or maybe even a World Series game. We never did that, the at-bat betting. But
yes.
Is Kyle Schwarber, like, the easiest guy in the world to, like, at-bat bet? Like, you just bet him every single time he leads off the game for a home run and spend the rest of the game betting strikeout. Is that just all you got to do there?
It's what it feels like. Like, for some reason, and I guess maybe he capitalizes where, you know, if anybody's, I've played baseball, like, not competitively through high school, but the first pitch of the game, like, by a pitcher is usually like, hey, man, I'm not going to throw you, like, this hard breaking ball. It's like, let's just get this thing started. And he takes advantage of that, I guess. Like, hey, let me groove one at 94 right down the middle. And he smokes it every time. And the guy hits, like, 180. He's the best, like, leadoff home run guy I've seen.
I'm surprised there isn't an unwritten rule in baseball that you allow the leadoff pitch to be start the count.
Ceremonial.
Leadoff hitter.
Ceremonial. Yeah, like, you don't even, like, you get in the box, you're just, like, swinging the bat, twirling it, like, Harry, just throw this fastball in here, and then we can get the game started, like, a tip of the cap, like, that's respect, that's, like, how it's done. Mm-hmm. I am surprised that doesn't happen. And also, like, the first, have you seen this before? Because I don't know if I had, Kevin, like, first pitch of the game, you hit the batter. Like, what? Like, where's that at? Like, I don't think I've ever, I know it's, obviously, it's happened, but I can't remember it happening, though. First pitch of the game, like, 94 on, like, the butt, bang, take first.
Did that happen, or you're just saying?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, because we're saying, like, you know, the groove, the first fastball, and it's usually, like, you know, a strike, close to a strike, but it feels like, too, like, the crowd loves it. Like, outside of, like, a strike three, like, the crowd doesn't really cheer for, like, a strike, but the first pitch, if it's a strike, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good night, boys. It's going to be a good night, boys, right? It's the feeling.
Remember when they said, Donnie, when they were going to crack down on the spider attack, that the hitters were going to be furious because they were now all going to get hit
you know,
100 times a game? Because the pitchers wouldn't be able to control the baseballs anymore.
What a great topic. Like, never in my mind did I want to have, like, a conference call with Major League Baseball, their best players, and say, let me get this straight here, guys. You would rather a guy spider tack that baseball and make you look like a fool where you can't get a base hit other than he might lose a little bit of his, like, you know, accuracy, but you're going to be able to dot that guy because his breaking ball doesn't go from your head to your ankle in like 1.3 seconds. Never understood that. Hey, by the way, you're like the pitchers we're using now. Like, hey, talk to them all the time. They'd rather us doctor this baseball and have an ERA of 1. Yeah, good luck with that one.
It is like the pitchers have a missed opportunity, though, by like that first like 2 weeks just not hitting. Like, everyone had to hit one guy per inning and just make it just like a real, real big issue there. They maybe let him off the hook.
Yeah, like one of the more, like, the power pitchers, right, are 99, and they just throw, like, 16 pitches. None of them were a strike with four hit batsmen, and the union gets together and goes, hey, we can't have this. Let them doctor the baseball because we might get hurt out here. You're right. Maybe the pitchers really missed, you know, their calling at that point. Say, hey, we'll just, you know, just be ultra wild on both sides all over the place to see if we can make some things change here. But it is a fun topic of conversation with Kyle Schwarber and how crazy his at-bats tend to be. But I do think the Philadelphia Phillies are pretty much in line tonight. Right-handed batters, though. Josiah Gray has had very good success against lefties on the season and the past 30 days. Schwarber now, again, is a left-handed batter. Bryce Harper's a lefty there. But looking more, who's that right-handed batter? Well, guess who the right-handed batter should be tonight, Kevin, if you're looking for an RBI for the Phillies. Can you take a guess?
Blastianos.
Yep. Bastianos, absolutely by far. Now, my guy also tonight, Christopher Sanchez, is a left-handed pitcher. Limited innings, Kevin, on the season itself. Actually has very good numbers against right-handed batters. But the guy always, like, look at this guy's stats, Kevin. Lane Thomas, and this is the new evolution of baseball. Like, when I was growing up, Schwarber, he's batting in the four-hole, five-hole. Why? Because he's slow. He can't get, you know, he's going to drive in runs. He's the leadoff guy. Like, Lane Thomas is not Kyle Schwarber body at the plate. 424 ISO, 517 weighted on base average. He's like Babe Ruth on this team, leadoff batter.
And yeah,
that guy rakes at the top of the lineup, man. He's in, a lot of the times he's like, hey, you know what? The Nationals are playing a not so good pitcher. Yeah, just close your eyes and bet Lane Thomas. Oh, look at that third inning solo blast. He's really good.
I got to tell you, I only hear the name Lane Thomas like from you, like, and I know the Nationals aren't in that spotlight, but is this one of their prospects they finally got right? A guy that they found out of nowhere? Like, what's the story with this guy?
Let me just take a look here at what his actual storyline is, because you're right. Nobody's really paying much attention to the Washington Nationals unless you're betting them and saying, well, they're a bad baseball team, but where do they get their runs from? Yeah, it's my guy Lane up top here. Let's see what we got here. So it says 2019 to 2023 being a major leaguer, but he came in the draft. How about this? The 2014 draft.
Wow.
So he is, does that have his age on here? He's 27 years old right now. He was born in 95. Mm-hmm. Team Toronto Blue Jays in the fifth round picked him here. Now let me just see some of his numbers. He was actually with, oh, there we go, St. Louis. I remember that. So he was with St. Louis for basically like a cup of coffee, but has really caught fire here this year. Expected weighted on base percentage, that's decent for this season. He's actually hitting 300 right now, too, which is impressive. 14 home runs. Last year, 17 home runs. But this year, you know, what's that? 14 home runs now, you could probably expect him to be around 30 as a leadoff guy. It's pretty impressive there for good old Lane. But, yeah, one of those guys that you don't really quote-unquote, pay attention to all that much here. San Francisco, New York tonight, 7:10 start up at Citi Field. I went 0-2 in this game. I made a little bit of money last night because that parlay was, what, close to 250 yesterday. So I did end up making money, but this is a game I whiffed on. I actually went yesterday with a couple RBI props here on the San Francisco Giants, Lamonte Wade and Jock Peterson. Reached base a couple times, no RBI. But I might. It's one of those, Kevin, too, because you get the block as a better. You take them yesterday, they don't do anything. You go back today, and it's not like, oh, I'm just going to take them again. Like, no, their numbers look really good again today because Carrasco stinks. And I'm just like saying, you know what? Cool off, I'm not going to take them. You know how that goes when you don't trust your own numbers and you move on. Hey, by the way, Lamonte Wade just let off with a home run. Like, come on now. Oh, Jock Peterson, two-run double in the fifth? Yeah, that's usually what happens here. Peterson and Wade look good tonight, but again, the focus is on the Mets. Boy, oh boy. Somebody's getting fired soon, right? Has to be.
I don't really know, though. I think just listening to kind of New York sports radio and different things of what people are really expecting here, Donnie, I would say right now the problem is they don't have the president of baseball operations. One is likely going to be hired this offseason. And you probably just don't need to make any changes when that's the case.
And I don't think, to be honest with you, Buck Showalter is not the guy in the locker room. It's like, man, we don't listen to Buck. Like, he's a nice guy, and he's been around baseball. Is he a five-time champion? No, he's not. But I know he's respected. So it's one of those, like, hey, I'm going to fire Buck. Well, you don't really fire Buck because you don't think he could do a good job. It's almost like, well, I just have to change something. Like, I can't fire Lindor at $300 million. Or, you know, Pete Alonso, I'm so upset with you, I'm just going to burn the bridge and send you out of town now. Usually it's the manager. But you know what happens, Kevin, before that? Who goes first, though? Which I always like in baseball. Like, what's the first change?
Isn't like the pitching coach?
Yeah, the batting coach. Hey, look, we had to make a move there. Now, I used to always love like guys like Hunter Pence who had like a crazy swing, and they basically all tell you, yeah, I like the batting coach, but the guys tell me like move up on the plate, buddy. I got here without you, and stop giving me pointers. You know, like that's gotta be a tough batting coach has to be such a tough job.
So now that we're having this conversation here, I don't understand how there are major league pitchers that throw submarine / sidearm. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind completely. Or even some of the batting stances, truly, Donnie, because Imagine if somebody, like, I know that not every jump shot looks the same.
Like Sean Marion, yeah.
In the NBA, I understand that, but I feel like pitching is such like an exact thing that it blows my mind that a kid in high school is like, I'm throwing submarine. And they're like, the hell you are throwing submarine. Like, get up there and throw it regular. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a broken jumper in high school, your coach probably doesn't care. So it's fine. Like, the idea that they're somehow getting away with throwing it submarine up there, it blows my mind that guys then are able to get to the bigs where they're like, yeah, go ahead. Like, it's cool by me.
Yes, or how about this? Like, Jalen Hurts throws submarine from the pocket. I mean, come on. Like, how's it even happen? You know, but you're right about that. Like, why baseball? Because, I mean, nobody's blocking you at that point. And this is sometimes just about smoke and mirrors for pitchers. Ooh, he hides the baseball real well. You hear that term. But why, like in the NFL, hey, by the way, Jalen Hurts throws at his knees from the pocket. Like, well, come on now. That makes no sense. Or like a jump shot where like Lonzo Ball would touch the floor with the basketball and then rise all the way up and shoot a jump shot. It's like, where did he learn that at? It usually doesn't help at that point. But it is a good one where I joke about, like, well, we can't really change the manager yet. We can't trade any players. And you know what the big deal was? Yeah, the hitting coach, man. That's really going to change things up. You're going to start raking at the plate immediately after that. By the way, Marlins and the Braves tonight, good one. And I do think we do have confirmed pitching matchups here. I do see odds, I believe. Yes, there we go. So it is Hoeing and Soroka. We were right there. I think we get runs tonight. I really do. Like, you can just pencil in. Even though Hoeing has decent numbers, Kevin, you just pencil in the Braves. The Braves don't care. Like, what's a low point? 89 degrees with the wind blowing out for the Braves going up against a good pitcher. You'd be like, wow, they only scored 4 runs? Like, you know, that's like the baseboard for them right now to do that. And then Miami, they actually line up really well against Michael Soroka. First 5 guys in that lineup, all elevated, including Luis Arraez's 421 weighted on base percentage. Man, guy's insane. What is he hitting now? What's he hitting now, by the way? Is he still at 400? Is he just below it?
I just like that guy goes 2 for 5. And they're like, man, he really crushed his average today. Like, he didn't have it at the dish. Like, he is all, like, he had multiple 5 for 5 days at the plate. Mm-hmm. In the month of June. Let's take a look what he's at. He's at 392. Man, he must be on some
slip. Wow. Yeah, what's he doing? Come on now, Louie. Let's see what he's done the last couple of games.
His last game.
Yeah, he did over 3.
There you go.
He went, yeah, exactly, right? You'd say he goes 3 for 4, then goes 1 for 3, 1 for 4, 2 for 5, and basically smashes his average. 1 for 5 against Boston. He's 1 for his last 8, which is probably crying right now, which means...
Sick to his stomach.
And the best part about him, Kevin, too, if you take him, because it still is hard to get more than one hit in a game, and you see that in there. Like, he has multiple games, 5-5, some 3s, and a 2 there. It's so hard to get 2, but the fact when you're chasing 400, Kevin, you know what doesn't actually help you? Walking. Like, I just moved it up 1 point, I walked. Like, no, like, he knows he has to hit 400, which means hit 400. Not just get on base, like an OPS or something like that. You know what I mean? So I like that. Whenever you're looking to back like Luis Arraez on more than one hit, it technically does make some sense here. It really does. 352 average away from home, which is crazy because that means what? He's raking at home at that tough hitter's ballpark, too. Because he's a singles guy. Yeah.
What is the home average then? Hold on. I gotta look this up immediately. Right before we hit the break, I got it right here. Here we go.
What
he
is it?
He's batting 30 at home.
Oh! My goodness here. By the way, there is a odds boost here at the FanDuel Sportsbook we're going to talk about in the next segment. Come on back with us, Donnie Kevin, on a Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment before we hit hour number 2 on a Friday. Enjoying the time here. How about this odds boost, Kevin? And by the way, I'm telling you guys, take advantage of those profit boosts, man. They pop up 3, 4, 5 times a week. It adds, man. Plus 120s turn into plus 180s. It's a lot of fun, too. Now, granted, sometimes a maximum of $100. Some days it's 50. Some days it's 25. But if you're just looking to boost it up, it's fun to use. Because why? It pays you more money. But how about this one, Kevin? Ellie De La Cruz, Luis Arraez, and Corey Seager each to get a base hit tonight, plus 220. Boosted from 135. Like, that's a really nice one. It is. Mm-hmm. You got guys that are swinging. We just talked about Luis Arraez. He ain't there to walk. Barely walks, barely strikes out. You get a base hit for a guy close to 400? Love that. Corey Seager, just a firecracker at the plate. And then De La Cruz, I had him the other night just to get a base hit. First base hit he gets, yeah, puts one single up the middle for, I believe, two runs scored. So he would cash that too. Just to get a base hit plus 220, that's a fun one to sort of keep in mind at this point. But Major League Baseball, big weekend here. Which they, by the way, the 4th of July, I assume we're going to get like an all-day extravaganza like baseball usually does. I love the star, like the, they, a lot of teams have like the commemorative hats for the 4th of July. They used to do a pretty good job with that stuff. You have all the star-spangled banner stuff all over the place and the bunting around the ballpark. But I love the 4th of July. You big 4th of July guy? How could you not be, right?
Yeah, the only thing that is throwing me off, though, is people saying holiday weekend. But if you're not getting a three-day weekend out of it, is it a holiday weekend? I don't
it still
think
is.
It is.
Yeah, I still feel like if Christmas is on a Wednesday, yeah, the holiday weekend's coming up, man. It's just the way it is.
I don't know if that's a hot take. I don't know if I'm in the minority there. That might be just call in all hour two and let us know if you're celebrating a holiday weekend.
Yeah, we will.
Almost Sunday.
Like hour number two should just be called the 4th of July hotline. If you can let it pop off. Hot takes into the air like M80s. And again, the best thing I can tell you people out here for this weekend, if you're lighting fireworks, don't hold them too long. Just don't do it. I mean, come on now. Live the fight another day, as we like to say, in these streets out here. Do yourself a favor. Hour number two is coming up. Phone lines are open, 844-843-6879. Let's go.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.